And now, the American Family News is ready to go to press. News of events at home and abroad for your American family, brought to you at 5:30 and again in the morning at 8:45, Mondays through Fridays, by the makers of American Family Flakes and American Family Bar Soap, Chicago's favorite soaps for washing clothes and dishes. And here he is, your American Family reporter, John Harrington.
Hello, everybody. The smoke and flame from Chicago's worst hotel fire died out many hours ago. But the tragedy and heartache and casualties have mounted throughout the day. At last report, the blaze that swept the LaSalle Hotel has cost the lives of 58 people, and 200 others are being treated for injuries, four of them serious injuries. Many of the 58 victims burned to death. Others died of suffocation from the dense smoke clouds, and still others leaped to their death from windows high in the 22-story building. Although Red Cross and city officials have been working untiringly all day, up to 5:30, 13 of the victims remain unidentified. Frantic phone calls have come into the morgue and the Red Cross office from all over the country. Friends and relatives wanted to know about the 1,100 hotel guests trapped by the flames. And now the investigations are getting underway, with local, county, and state officials wanting to know the cause of the disastrous blaze. The fire department, the coroner, and a special mayor's committee will investigate for the city of Chicago. And the state legislature plans to send a special committee to make a report to the lawmakers. Fire Marshal Michael Corrigan of Chicago describes the fire as the worst in his 35 years of service and one of the hardest to explain. But hotel employees report that they first spotted the blaze in an elevator shaft and it was out of control almost immediately because of the strong drafts in the 38-year-old building. To illustrate the intense heat of those flames which completely destroyed the giant LaSalle lobby, a mailman opened the heavy metal mailbox near the elevator shafts and found that all of the letters inside were reduced to a powdery ash. Quincy, Illinois, was hit especially hard by the disaster. Quincy's mayor, Edward Schneidman, has been identified as among the dead. Ironically, Mayor Schneidman had originally planned to stay at the Bismarck Hotel, but because of a last-minute change of plans, he registered at the ill-fated LaSalle. One of the most dramatic stories of the fire is that of Miss Anita Blair. As others became panicky, rushed to open windows, and some of them to jump out of those windows, Miss Blair walked slowly and calmly down the fire escape from the 11th floor to safety. As we told you on the 8:45 edition of your American Family News, Miss Blair was led down that perilous fire escape by a seeing-eyed dog. Now, perhaps some of you may remember Miss Blair. She's an old friend of ours. When she first came to Chicago along with her dog, Fawn, last November, she was unable to find a room. She wanted to get a job here, but she was afraid she'd have to go back to Texas because of the housing shortage. By wire recording at that time, Miss Blair appealed to Chicago residents on your American Family News, and as a result was able to get her room at the LaSalle Hotel. Now we're bringing Miss Blair to you again to tell you her experience when the tragic fire broke out early this morning. So here by transcription is Bob Cunningham to introduce you once again to Miss Anita Blair.
Throughout the day, you've been hearing details of the terrible disaster which struck early this morning at the LaSalle Hotel in Chicago. One of the most miraculous escapes so far recorded and certainly achieved in the fire was that achieved by Miss Anita Blair and her seeing-eye dog, Fawn. Miss Blair is in the studio with us now, and here's her story.
The first realization I had that there was a fire in the hotel, I was awakened about 1 o'clock by screaming. I heard this horrible, I think it's the most terrifying sounds I've ever heard, of men and women screaming in panic. And I lay there a few seconds and listened to it. Then I got up and went and opened my door. And there were people running back and forth in the hall. And I have no sense of smell. When I opened that door, the smoke was so heavy in the hall that I could actually taste it. So I closed the door and reached for my robe hanging on the back of the door and then went and got my coat and put my harness on Fawn, my seeing-eye dog, picked up my pocketbook. I debated for a few seconds whether I should try to take anything with me, and then I decided that whatever was there wasn't as important as getting out of the place, and stepped back out into the hall. The dog went with me down the fire escape from the 11th floor to the ground, and I think the most amazing thing about the fire was the fact that so many people, although they were filled with panic, They seemed to calm down when they saw the dog taking me down the fire escape. People were very kind to see that I didn't stumble, and I think I was very fortunate.
Thank you, Miss Anita Blair.
And your American Family reporter also thanks you and joins with you in your thankfulness at your miraculous escape. And there are other stories of miraculous escapes, too. There is Miss Virginia Blake of Bushnell, Illinois, who was rushed to the hospital along with the other injured. But Mrs. Blake, unlike the others, was taken to the maternity ward at Pacifist Hospital, where she is waiting for her baby to be born at any moment. And there is Mrs. Claude Stratton, a 74-year-old Miami woman. She was carried from the Blazing Hotel in a chair by three former servicemen of Chicago. They went to her rescue when her husband, tears streaming down his face, begged for their help. When he found her safe and recovering from shock in a local hospital, he wrote out a check for $500 as his only way to reward those three former GIs. To five young lads from Newton, Iowa, fate was not quite so kind. They came into Chicago for a big fling, their high school graduation present from their parents. All five of the boys died in the blaze. And so we hear more stories, more horror from Chicago's worst hotel fire, which so far has claimed the lives of 58 people. But even in the midst of terror and tragedy, Americans accustomed to post-war shortages can remain immovable. One middle-aged couple vacationing here had experienced the usual difficulty in getting a hotel room when they came into town. And so, through last night's horror, that couple remained in their 18th-floor room at Chicago's LaSalle Hotel, afraid that they could not find another room if they fled to safety. Then a good friend of your American Family reporter in Sidney Jones and your neighbor in Riverside, Colonel Weaver of the United States Army Air Forces, slept peacefully through the fire and was finally roused by firemen. There's one for the books. I'll be right back with more news. Now, here's Ed Roberts.
And I'd like to remind you, ladies, that there's an easier, quicker way of doing dishes. A way that at the same time is far kinder to your hands than strong granulated soap. Just follow the example of the thousands of clever women who've made American Family Flake Chicago's preferred soap for dishwashing. Now, here's what one typical Chicago housewife, a woman with just your dishwashing problems, by the way, says about American Family. Mrs. C.L. Harris, 2107 Lawrence Avenue, says,
"It's amazing how quickly American Family Flakes get my dishes clean. And it's just as wonderful the way my hands stay so soft."
You bet it is. And that's why twice as many Chicago women prefer American Family Flakes for dishwashing as any other package soap. Why, tests prove American Family Flakes far kinder to hands than strong granulated soaps. And yet they cut grease as fast as any soap in the world. Moreover, ounce for ounce, American Family Flakes make more suds faster than any leading strong granulated soap. And I mean suds that stand up until you're through. So get American Family Flakes. Learn why Chicago women prefer it over all other soaps for dishwashing. And now back again to John Harrington.
In Washington, the lawmakers have spent another day with those old familiar problems, the OPA extension and the draft. And just an hour ago, the Senate wound up its consideration of the draft bill by voting for an extension until May 15, 1947. The Senate version also includes the provision to draft teenagers and to raise the pay for enlisted men to make enlistment more attractive. Now, that leaves as the only problem a Senate-House disagreement on the drafting of teenagers. The House removed the teenage clause from the draft bill before it passed its version last month. As for the OPA, debate over the pricing agency centered in the Senate Banking Committee. But after a full day of argument, the committee came out as determined as ever to lift the price controls from livestock, meat, poultry, and dairy products on June 30th. Concerning the food shortage, the Famine Emergency Committee has issued a new Save Bread call to Americans. The group now suggests that every American limit himself to two slices of bread a meal and fill up on potatoes. Speaking of saving, this is a good time for my reminder to you tonight to keep on saving waste fats, the waste fats so vitally needed by our country. On the labor scene, a watchful government has begun organizing its priority shipping system in the event the maritime strike comes off on June 15th. But there were hopeful signs out of today's negotiation meetings that a settlement may be reached. Meantime, the pressure is increasing for President Truman to sign the case anti-strike bill. Turning to the international news for a moment, that foreign policy debate in the British House of Commons has continued throughout another day. Both the old familiar voice of Winston Churchill and the newer voice of Prime Minister Attlee took this occasion to take new cracks at Soviet Russia. But the two statesmen are in disagreement on another question. Mr. Churchill believes that Great Britain should continue its policy of non-intervention in the Spanish government affairs, while Mr. Attlee proposes that the United Nations get busy and oust the Franco regime. A monarch who already has been ousted as king is King Umberto of Italy. Now that the votes have been counted, it is official that the Italian people have voted out the monarchy form of government to replace it with a republic. In our immediate foreign relations, the State Department has received a reply from the Romanian government to the American demand for free elections in that country. But our diplomats say the reply is unsatisfactory. To President Truman, leading Protestant churchmen have put a demand that the United States break diplomatic relations with the Vatican. And in the Far East, General Marshall has talked the warring Chinese and Russian factions in Manchuria into a 15-day truce while he works for a permanent peace. For a late international report, President Truman announced a short time ago that he has named Senator Warren Austin, a Vermont Republican, to be American representative on the United Nations Security Council. And that's the Washington and International Report for tonight. Now a few more notes from Chicago and around the country. Although Illinois, as the rest of the country, was horror-stricken by Chicago's tragic fire, the state legislature kept business as usual hours and went on with its debate over the soldier bonus. Veterans themselves appeared on the House floor to argue against increasing state taxes to finance the bonus payment. And Governor Green changed his stand on the proposed tax on movies. In a letter to the chairman of the Legislative Bonus Commission, he urged that the lawmakers decide against the movie tax when they work out their final plan. At the moment, the Illinois lawmakers seem as far from a final plan as ever. Also in Springfield, members of the Illinois Commerce Commission were taking up a financial matter. The Illinois Commercial Telephone Company opened its arguments for a proposed rate increase which would affect about 600 communities. And federal officials in Chicago are also concerned with high finance today. Internal Revenue agents have filed a claim of more than $878,000 against Meyer Gordon, a Loop pawn shop owner, for non-payment of income tax from 1935 to 43. The federal officials describe Gordon as the biggest fence in the country for stolen goods. For a glimpse at today's activities in Wall Street, the slide of stock prices from recent highs leveled off some, and an assortment of industrial managed moderate advances. In just a moment, I'll have the late weather reports. Now, Ed Roberts.
Well, friends, here's one thing for sure. Today, every woman wants to get more service from clothes that are so hard to replace these days. And thousands of Chicago women have discovered an amazingly successful way to do this. It's the American Family Flakes way of washing. And it does away with so much wash day wear and tear that clothes are just bound to last longer.
I found that American Family Flakes have such wonderful cleansing ability that you don't have to rub or bleach clothes to death to get them dazzling white. Yet these hard-working American Family Flakes are so mild, colored washables look bright longer than when you use a strong granulated soap. Now, did you ever hear of such wash day magic before?
How about it, friends, have you? You know, that's why Chicago housewives prefer American Family Flakes 3-to-1 over all other soaps for washing clothes, according to an independent survey. So to help protect your clothes, use Chicago's favorite soap, American Family Flakes, every wash day. Because, you know, now, more than ever, it is cheaper to buy good soap than new clothes. And now here again is John Harrington.
Well, sir, it looks as though we're almost safe in saying that June is here to stay. Because again tonight, the weatherman is echoing his words of earlier in the week. Fair and continued mild tonight with a low of 60. And the same holds true for tomorrow when the thermometer will go clear up to 87 degrees. Today, the mercury got as high as 79, which is where it stands right at the moment. So it's been a nice, lovely June day. Good evening, all.
Tune in WBBM at 8:45 tomorrow morning and again at 5:30 when John Harrington, your American Family reporter, will present the WBBM News Bureau selection of the news from here, there, and everywhere. 15 minutes of news brought to you every day, twice a day, Monday through Friday, by American Family Flakes and American Family Bar Soap. Remember our next date, tomorrow morning, 8:45. Ed Roberts speaking.
Robert Trout with the news till now follows in just a moment over the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.